com, our Joe Bud Hate Street. This is Spielpod.com, The Week in Georgia, in English, coming to you from sunny San Francisco, California. Today is the 14th of December, 2017. On this date in 577, a big earthquake hits Constantinople, damaging the Hagia Sophia and the city walls, which causes the Hagia Sophia dome to collapse and allows the Huns to invade later the coming year. 1812, the French invasion of Russia officially ends as the last of Napoleon's troops withdraw from Russian soil. Big mess. 1911, Roald Asmussen and his team are the first people to reach the South Pole. 1939, the Soviet Union is expelled from the League of Nations after invading Finland. 1958, the Third Soviet Antarctic Expedition is the first to reach the Southern Pole of Inaccessibility. 1972, Eugene Cernan is the last person to walk on the moon as part of the Apollo 17 mission. 1992, a helicopter carrying evacuees from Tkharcheli, Abkhazia, is shot down, probably by Georgian forces, killing at least 52 people, including 25 children. 2008, Mukhtar al-Zaidi throws his shoes at U.S. President George Bush during a press conference in Baghdad. Birthdays are in 1546, Danish smart guy Tycho Brahe, French singer and actress Jane Birkin in 1946, recently fired FBI director James Comey in 1960, and in 2017, in fact, 3 hours ago, in Pretoria, South Africa, Carson Alexander McCotter, known by his Zulu name, Mazwi. I'm your host, Mark Mullen. If you'd like to comment on the forum or ask a question, go to tpeelpod.com or send us an email at tpeelpod@gmail.com. Misha was arrested by Ukrainian police late on the 8th, 3 days after the first attempt on the morning of the 5th. He was arrested at a friend's apartment in Kiev and then transferred to pretrial detention facilities. He's apparently recovering from a mild illness. Ukrainian media has reported that the friend was Yuri Pokin Boroda, formerly the chief of police of Luhansk. Misha has been charged with assisting criminal groups and covering up criminal activities. Chief prosecutor tried to put him under house arrest, but the district court released him. The prosecutor argued it was necessary to protect him from Russian security forces, which might murder Misha in order to further destabilize Ukraine. Misha's Ukrainian political party, Movement of New Forces, called on supporters to gather near the security services facility where they believe he was being held. Several hundred supporters camped out around the facility along with heavy police presence. Protesters chanted "Glory to Ukraine" and said they would stay until Misha was released. A statement from Misha was read out loud, encouraging supporters to attend a previously announced anti-Poroshenko rally on the 10th and stating that the charges against him were false. Misha's defense lawyer said that Misha began a hunger strike, which ended upon his release. All of this sucking oxygen away in the presidential campaign from the real opposition to Poroshenko, who is not Misha, but Yulia Tymoshenko. The United National Movement and European Georgia criticized the arrest. Zal Udomashvili, the UNM Tbilisi mayoral candidate, said Misha will soon be free, which perhaps is a matter of several days or hours, and finish the struggle that he has begun. While European Georgia's Secretary General Gigi Ugulava, political persecution and the continuation of persecution that started in Georgia in 2018 when Misha was forced to leave the country. UNM organized a small rally outside the Ukrainian embassy in Tbilisi to support him. On Wednesday evening, Pavel Ardzimba, suspect in the 2012 assassination attempt on former Abkhazian President Alexander Ankwab, was shot and killed on the highway outside of Sukhumi along with his driver. He'd been wanted for 5 years for the assassination attempt and for the murder of Ankwab's two bodyguards. Ardzimba turned himself in September and was killed while out on bail. The road that Ardzimba was killed on was also the location of the earlier assassination attempt. Ardzimba was close to Václav Ardzimba, the first president of Abkhazia, and the wartime deputy defense minister for armament and technology. Parliament adopted additional changes to the Constitution during the first reading on the 14th with 115 votes in favor. The changes being addressed are some of those mentioned as areas of concern by the Venice Commission. They allow parliamentary blocs to participate in the 2020 elections, more fairly divide undistributed votes between the parties that pass the threshold for entering Parliament, increase the power of the Constitutional Court regarding elections, and introduce an electoral board for choosing the president rather than voters or the parliament. Additionally, a law reading freedom of word, view, conscience, religious, and belief can be restricted only in line with the law to ensure security of the state and public, to avoid crime, to protect health, to carry out justice, or to protect others' rights, will be amended to remove words including security of the state, to avoid crime, and to carry out justice, all of which were, of course, ridiculous. This will increase protections for freedom of speech and religion. Idiotic that all these amendments to the Constitution are being done twice, since Mark Velashvili and everybody else, all the NGOs and everybody, have been saying all of this stuff all along. But now they're saying, oh, well, the Venice Commission said it, even though everybody domestically was saying the same thing before the Venice Commission said it. Keep in mind the Constitution is still set up electorally to preserve Otsneva power even more than it is now in the next parliamentary elections. During the 24th meeting of the OSCE Ministerial Council in Vienna, the group of friends of Georgia, Canada, Czech Republic, Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, Poland, Romania, Sweden, and the United Kingdom, as well as the United States, released a statement reiterating their support for Georgia and concerns about Russian activity in the region. On the 7th, Foreign Minister Mikhail Janelidze addressed the OSCE Ministerial Council, discussing recent violations of international law by Russia and the need to increase powers of the OSCE. Janelidze also met with OSCE Secretary General Tomasz Greminger. President Mark Velashvili appointed two new ambassadors on the 12th. Vika Dolidze, the current state minister for European and Euro-Atlantic integration, will be ambassador to the to Geneva-based UN agencies and other international organizations, while Elguja Khokhrishvili, who was a senior advisor in the Georgian embassy in Germany, was promoted to ambassador of Germany. Khokhrishvili will replace Lado Chanturia, who is now on the European Court of Human Rights, had been a professor in Tübingen and was responsible for the original Georgian civil code, which had been more or less lifted from German civil law. Journalists from Rustaviori TV, TV Pirveli, and the Pirveli and the Georgian Public Broadcaster were denied entry into Ukraine by border officials after traveling there to cover the most recent Misha story. The Coalition for Media Advocacy, a group of 13 NGOs, released a statement expressing concern about the move, as did another NGO, Media Institute. Ukrainian authorities said the journalists were turned away for not explaining the purpose of their visits, and the Georgian Foreign Ministry said the Ukrainians told them that new restrictions were in place due to the security situation in the country. Since October, a number of Georgians have been either not allowed to enter Ukraine or deported. Those not allowed to enter Ukraine this fall include UNM Member of Parliament Kobana Kopia, an employee of the Special State Prosecution Service of Georgia that was accompanying Misha's son, Nikolos, and Rustaviori's Tengo Gogetishvili. Eight Georgian citizens, including a Rustaviori cameraman, were deported on the 17th of November. Ministry of Foreign Affairs announced that it is closely monitoring the Jerusalem situation following U.S. President Trump's ridiculous announcement recognizing the city as the capital of Israel for no reason whatsoever, because Congress did that a long time ago, and it is purely divisive in a way for Trump to chum up to Netanyahu. But it did not say whether or not Georgia would support the U.S. in this change. The Supreme Court has ruled that official emails are public information 2.5 years after the Transparency Group, the Institute for Development of Freedom of Information, brought the issue to Tbilisi City Court. The ruling excludes emails between employees of the same ministry and emails, and I quote, of a private nature, which is, of course, hilarious in a court decision. While speaking at an event at the Theological Academy in Tbilisi, Prime Minister Kvitikashvili said that connections between the church and schools should be strengthened. A few days before his comments, Patriarch Ilya II had encouraged the government to consider spiritual upbringings after a recent stabbing in a Tbilisi public school. The church also called for resolving the problem of teenagers who stand in the street unsupervised, censoring films and movies for violence, and censoring obscene and insulting language. Regarding the statements from the church, Kvitikashvili said, "The church and the state are, of course, separate institutions. But when it comes to our worldview, it's impossible, and no one should want to break the union which has preserved our country." He also said of the relationship between the church and educational system, "Strengthening this union is our main priority." Education for All, a coalition of education NGOs, released a statement criticizing Kvitikashvili and the church for their statements. Keep in mind that Kvitikashvili, the prime minister, has studied in the U.S., has a graduate degree from the Midwest somewhere, but is personally an extremely religious person. Parliament has endorsed Kvitiakvili's plans to restructure the government, as the opposition opposed it because of the failure to provide staff and budgetary impact calculations with the plan. European Georgian and Alliance of Patriots member of Parliament participated in the debate but did not vote, while UNM MPs did not attend at all. For the changes to go into effect, the entire cabinet will have to win a confidence vote from Parliament sometime in the next few weeks. Parliamentary Chairman Kobakhidze announced that Otsneva will not be attempting to make the office of the president elected by Parliament. Instead, the Electoral College, composed of MPs and local and regional government officials, ridiculously, as introduced in the recent constitutional amendments, will remain unchanged. In a statement, Kobakhidze said that institutionally, legally, and politically, it would be better if the elector was the parliament, which is true, rather than a bunch of collection of appointed individuals by Otsneva to have a person that is fully in line with them. I mean, it means that there's no real reason to have a president. Senior MPs from Otsneva, UNM, the European Georgian Alliance for Patriots have voiced support for a bill introducing mandatory gender quotas in parliament in Sakrabulos through European Georgia's Elena Khoshtaria, though European Georgia's Elena Khoshtaria said that she was personally against quotas as a woman, as quotas are demeaning both ideologically and psychologically. The bill proposes alternating genders of male and female candidates on every party's list. If a person's term ends early, then they will be replaced by someone of the same gender. The bill was written by the Task Force on Women's Political Participation and submitted to Parliament with 37,000 signatures. The hardest working NGO in the South Caucasus is Transparency International Georgia released a statement on International Anti-Corruption Day, December 9th, calling for an effective policy for high-level corruption prevention. They named a lack of checks and balances stemming from weak parliament and judiciary, inadequate regulation of relationships between public officials and private entities, and ineffective law enforcement as risk factors for high-level corruption. They also noted that nepotism, patronage, and favoritism are continuing problems. In order to combat corruption, TI suggests that the government strengthen parliament and the judicial systems, supervisory roles, promote and strengthen strengthening of political parties, and an equal electoral environment, respect the independence of oversight institutions such as the State Audit Office and the Prosecutor's Office, establish a strong and independent anti-corruption body, ensure enforcement of anti-corruption legislation, take steps towards creating a depoliticized professional civil service, adopt a freedom of information law, reduce corruption risk with regard to party finances and public procurement, and support the development of an independent media and investigative journalism. A few hundred people rallied in Tbilisi on Wednesday in support of looser drug regulations after Parliament delayed hearings for a draft law that would decriminalize drug use. The rally was organized by the group White Noise Movement. The protesters called for the adoption of legislative amendments that would decriminalize drug use and provide support for rehab programs. They also called for the government to reform police and pardon inmates with drug charges. An organizer said that if the government did not work with their demands, the festive mood of the new year will be replaced by days of resistance. A few Orthodox priests held a concurrent counter demonstration holding signs that said, "No drugs," and "Drug Addiction, the Way to Hell." Women's group, Independent Group of Feminists, held a Take Back the Night rally. They started in Underpass in Hero Square, which has a reputation for being unsafe for women. Their demands included more lighting in all underground passages and general improvement for women's safety in public spaces. Tbilisi's mayor, Kahi Kaladze, said that fines for cutting down trees are inadequately low and should be increased. He asked Tbilisi Sakrabulo to address the issue and said that the revenues from the increased fines should be used to create green areas, care for public spaces, and otherwise improve the environment. He also announced a pilot initiative to collect trash from public trash cans at night instead of during the day in order to improve traffic conditions. If successful, he hopes to implement it throughout the city. This cutting down tree issue is obviously true, but, you know, increase the fines a lot, but that's not going to be enough to do a heck of a lot for parks. Better to have a plan to prevent his colleagues in Otsneva from building things in parks. Prime Minister Kvitakashvili attended Hanukkah celebrations in Tbilisi Synagogue this week, lighting the night's candles. Soccer and football or football referee Ilo Tughushi was found dead in the forest near Lanchkhuti in Guria last week. It's believed that he was murdered and that the murder related to his refereeing of football games. Russian Abkhazian authorities met this week to discuss two forthcoming agreements on dual citizenship and the process for Abkhazians to gain Russian citizenship. Russian law currently requires people applying for citizenship to renounce their former citizenship, but the agreement will allow Abkhazians to obtain both. The agreements are expected to be signed and enacted within the next 6 months. Russian Deputy Prime Minister Alexander Kolponin and Minister for North Caucasus Lev Kutsatov visited Abkhazia last week to discuss Moscow's investments in Abkhazia. A monument to Russian peacekeepers was unveiled in Sukhumi this week. It commemorates Russian troops present in Abkhazia from 1994 until 2008. Russian and South Ossetia officials made some regular, typical comments about the conflict this week. At the press conference last week, Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov said, quote, "We respect the territorial integrity of Georgia just as we respect the territorial integrity of two new independent states, the Republic of Abkhazia and the Republic of South Ossetia," end quote. At a book presentation in Skhin Valley, South Ossetian President Anatoly Bibilov said, quote, "I am personally convinced that Ossetia must be unified and this unification must happen within the Russian Federation," end quote. The National Bank of Georgia raised its refinancing rate to 7.25% from 7% in an attempt to curb inflation. Wizz Air will begin twice-weekly flights from Kutaisi to Riga in March 2018, starting at 20 euros. Ski season has begun in Gudauri, Bakuriani, Spaneti, and Goderzi. Goderzi has two new lifts and a children's play area this year. Two new resorts have opened in Svaneti, Hatsvali and Tetnuldi. Ropeway between Hatsvali and Mestia is scheduled to begin operation on the 23rd of December. Georgia was named the best country for shooting locations at a film industry event in Hyderabad, India. Georgia provides a 20 to 25% rebate for some expenses that film from filming in the country. Very business friendly, is beautiful and diverse, and apparently has a film-friendly society. Certificate was presented to Georgia's ambassador to India, Archil Dzudzialashvili. Meme this week is a short documentary about Zaza Pachulia. It's mainly in English. His trip to Georgia this summer after winning the NBA championship trophy covers Zaza's life from childhood to international sports stardom. It's a nice 18-minute Facebook documentary. Take a look. American Tea Party activist, racist moron, and failed presidential candidate Pat Buchanan wrote some interesting commentary about U.S. intervention abroad and Georgia. He notes that at the time, war hawks called for intervention, but for once the U.S. did not get involved. Buchanan writes that this was an excellent move and is further evidence as to why Georgia should not be permitted to join NATO. He also describes South Ossetia as not being part of Georgia, calls Misha a clown, undeserving of his presidency, and renames the president of Ukraine Boris. More evidence of the connection between nationalists in the United States, racists, and the Republican Party on the one hand, with the Kremlin on the other. Take a look. Chaihana profiled three women from rural Samegrelo who are pushing back against gender expectations. They include Edita, an independent politician, school teacher, mother, business owner, and respected Tamada; Iruza, an Otsneba city council representative, Abkhazian IDP and NGO founder; and Lamzira, a beekeeper, co-op founder, and orchard owner. Eurasianet wrote about the impact of the opening of the Turkish border between Çildir and Kartsakhi. The border has been closed from 2005-2015, and opening has caused tensions on the Georgian side. Predominantly ethnic Armenian villagers have been protesting by blocking the highway that goes between the two countries because of the rampant lawlessness that has occurred since opening. Issues of particular concern include livestock theft, lack of government support from both the Turkish and the Georgian governments, all of these related to livestock theft, rising prices, and non-hiring of Christians for Turkish-funded projects. as well as increased prostitution in the area. Chaihana also posted a short video about an animation school in Nikozi by the South Ossetian border. The school was founded after the 2008 war by local metropolitan and has helped keep people in the village that might have otherwise looked for better opportunities for their families in Tbilisi and elsewhere. Now Nikozi has an annual international animation festival and has connected with organizations in France and Germany. All this stuff to read is posted on the forum. This week's dive bar number is 13, the number of endemic or near-endemic fish species found in the Mtkvari, or as it's known in Russian, the Kura River. On the 15th, Tbilisi Sacre Bulle will hold a Christmas tree lighting event. There will be free ice skating rink performances by Gori Women's Choir and student group from Gori. Georgian State Pantomime Theater presents Lullaby on the 16th at 8 p.m. The performance is directed by Amidan Shalikashvili. On the 17th, the International Photo Project Tell a Different Story will open an exhibition at Tetris, a bar in Tbilisi. The project involves young photographers from Georgia, Norway, Czechia, Denmark, Azerbaijan, and Estonia. They'll identify and address social issues in their communities through photography. On the 18th at 6 p.m., the Writer's House in Tbilisi will be hosting an event to commemorate 90 years since the birth of Rezo Tabukashvili, the author. On the 19th at 6:30 p.m. will be a presentation of the publication Georgia in the 1990s, Tips on Survival. It has a compilation of works by artists, writers, scholars, and others on how to survive the unsurvivable and how to represent the ones that cannot be represented. The event will be held at the Writer's House in Tbilisi. Also on the 19th, from 5 p.m. until 8 p.m., there'll be a jazz jam session at the Movement Theater in Tbilisi. The exhibition Carlo Karachava Today opens on the 20th at the Dmitry Shevardnadze National Gallery, featuring Georgia's most celebrated contemporary artist. On the 21st, the Tbilisi Concert Hall will host Vano's show, comedy show, and Keri's Ubani in New Year concert at 6 p.m. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. That's Tango, X-Ray, Tango, Bravo, Uniform, Kilo. Our email is tpeelpod@gmail.com or post to the forum on our website, www.tpeelpod.com. And we will finish with, from 1993, from Oran, Algeria, this is Shab Khaled with Deep Deep. Oh,